for those amazing stories. We thought it'd be pretty cool to do something a little bit different. In the Word, it says that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Youth Conference, your story matters. It may not be a story of crazy or outrageous things, but your story, no matter how big or small, is going to influence and change the people around you if you allow your story to be shared. So what we want to do this afternoon is I actually want to invite the incredible panelists up. Abby, why don't you come on up here? Indy and the amazing Vins. Can we give them a hand as they come up on stage? And what we're literally going to do is unpack a little bit of their stories. And while we're doing this, I really want you guys to think a little bit about your story and how powerful that is. So here we are. Here are our panelists. Guys, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. I didn't give some of you a choice, but for others of you, thank you so much for joining us. Vins, why don't you introduce yourself first and maybe share a little bit about your story.
Sweet. So for those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Vins Quinez. I am Filipino, for any Filipinos out there, mabuhay. So for me, I was born in Quezon City in Manila, Philippines. And I lived there with my grandma, all my cousins, and my uncle as well. My mom was actually off studying to be a nurse, typical Filipino. And she was off studying to give me a better life, essentially. And so I lived the first 5 years of my life in Philippines, in poverty, in the slums. And it was a good life. So we didn't have too much, but we made do with what we had, and we appreciated everything that we did have as well. I was a happy little kid, you know, with happy having food on the table and whatnot, so it didn't take much to please me. And life was good until up about the age of 3, I'd probably say, where I was living more with my uncle than I was with my grandma. And my uncle at the time was getting involved with a lot of, like, very heavy drugs, very heavy alcohol and whatnot. And there'd be a lot of times, more often than not, where it would just be the two of us at home. And because of his own brokenness, he would kind of portray his brokenness onto me. And all those times, he'd lock me in a room, you know, and kind of just start beating on me with whatever that he could find. And like I said, taking out his own hurts, his own pain, and projecting on me. And it was huge because, you know, like, as a kid, like, you think, what do you do to deserve that kind of thing? And then at the age of 5, my mom came to get me from England. So I went from Philippines to England, and moving from an extreme of being really poor to having everything that I could possibly want. And it was there where she married an Englishman who became my stepfather. And I also have two beautiful siblings, a little sister and a little brother, who were there as well. And again, there it was hard to transition because I was a young Filipino kid who had experienced all this back home, didn't know how to express it to anyone, didn't have any friends. I literally could barely speak any English as well. So everything was just internalized. And I say a couple years after living there, I realized my stepfather had a bit of an anger issue. So I guess replicating what my uncle was, again, he started abusing myself and my mom as well. And that went on for a number of years. Like, they'd be like every night arguing, and then just experiencing that anger and that pain and just really feeling like I didn't deserve it. But that became my life. So as I grew up, a really, really broken kid, unable to communicate how I felt or my emotions or anything like that. It started to outplay in high school. So as I got into high school, you know, the pain that I guess, experienced at home, I started projecting it onto other people. And so that cycle began in my family through me. I'd start starting fights with anyone that I could find. I hated going home because I knew what I was going home to, but I hated being at school because I just didn't feel like I belonged. And so I grew up a very troubled teenager, so to speak, got in with the wrong crowd, a lot of drinking, a lot of partying. Like the other two stories said, like, you kind of go into the world trying to find something to validate you and find that love that I never had. And that went on for my teenage years. And then another move, so Philippines, England, 2014, I came to New Zealand. 4 years ago, and from there, the first year or so, again, that same cycle of abuse, of anger, of pain, just kept going. And I fell into a really, really low place, a really deep place as well, of just depression, of anger, and anger began to become who I was. Wow. And even in my high school days here again, starting fights and hanging out with the wrong crowd who were into all the gangs and stuff like that. And then one day I went into a boxing place, and I used to love fighting, so I thought, why not try boxing? There was something different about that place. As soon as I walked in, there was just a peace about that place that I never experienced before. And the coaches, all the guys that were there, they were exactly like me, like come from broken homes, come from not a lot, but when they came together, it was nothing but joy. It was nothing but positivity. And I just couldn't put my finger as to what it was, but I kept going. Like there was something that just kept pulling me there. And eventually my coach prayed for me and whatnot and gave my life to the Lord 4 years ago. And I'm here now, pretty much.
Come on, can we give Vince a massive hand? So cool, bro. So what we're literally going to do is I'm just going to ask these guys, first of all, they know they're going to be a little bit vulnerable. We've already asked that. And actually through their vulnerability, just share a bit of their stories, a bit of their trials, but also how they overcame some of the things they went through in hope and encouragement to all of us as well. So Indy, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do? And we want to get to know you a little bit more as well. You said in your video that you were between homes a lot. And so we want you to say not only what you do, but remember this is a safe place. What's the longest you've ever gone without showering? Go.
Wow. You would, Daniel. You would.
I would.
Okay. So my name's Indy, if you haven't met me before. And what I do, so I just recently quit my job, actually, to start a business. So that's a whole nother story in itself. It's a journey.
Stay in school, though. Stay in school.
Stay in school. And, the longest I went without showering, I'm going to be honest with you, and this is a vulnerable time, probably around a week or so. Yep.
Do we have anyone else who's gone longer than a week, maybe at a summer camp or at a camp? Anyone? Oh, my. Are you serious?
Don't lie. I know there's more.
Anyone a week and a half? Anyone still hasn't showered? Still. Put your hands down. Awesome. Abby. Why don't you, I guess, say a little bit about what you do, a little bit about your family, and then also, we want to hear, especially for all the ladies, boys, write this down, about the best date that you've ever been taken on.
Oh, okay.
Come on now.
Well, I do have a very romantic husband, so. So I am a mum to two beautiful, amazing, talented, all my kids are talented, one boy called Huey and one girl called Goldie, and I'm pregnant with our third girl. Yeah. So, mum. And the best date my husband has taken me on, maybe to Waiheke. So that was super lovely, and he's just super encouraging, so it would be something like taking me away and just, it's all about words. Give it to me. So tell me how great I am. No, but he's great. So it'd be Waiheke.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Abby, I think we'll actually start with you. I guess one part of your story that maybe some people can really resonate with here is you talked about this idea of not having a secret life, but almost having this life that was separate to your friends and your family, and almost this thing that you did that you didn't involve other people in. Can you explain a little bit about that and maybe what were some of the outcomes? Yeah. Of that.
I think sometimes we're so caught up, obviously, on what people are going to think of us. And I think we all hold this thing of, I'm okay. And so when we're not okay, we can hide that. And when we hide stuff from people, we can run away from people. And so I didn't know how to be okay and fake it, as well as being around my friends. So I wouldn't answer their phone calls. I wouldn't text them. I just had this big thing going on that I knew was wrong, and I knew that I had epic friends who would pull me up on it. So you push yourself away from people like that because you know what they're going to say. Sometimes I think we know the truth already, but we choose to ignore it. So that was that. So I was just doing things that I didn't want that side of my world to know about. So I guess it was lonely.
Yeah, definitely. Indy, part of your story, I guess one thing that's maybe harder for some of us to relate to was this idea of, you know, being a 14-year-old girl, not really having anywhere to go, anyone to go to. Was there a place that you found that you escaped to, or was there sort of a sanctuary? What was it for you that you found an escape from?
Yeah, so probably later in my teens is when I found it the most challenging, which was when my mum was an alcoholic, and literally there were times where her life was literally in my hands, and I wasn't mature enough to be able to deal with that. And so, like I said in the video, I got into a relationship with a boy and pretty much just got involved with that whole side of things. And I saw relationships and dating and being with boys as an escape and as a way to get out. And I just wanted to kind of be free from everything that I was facing, because it was such a weight for me. And I did know it at the time as well, that I just needed to get out. And so that for me was an outlet. And that's what drove me to then move out of home at such a young age and go and live with my boyfriend, because I just wanted a chance to actually live a good life and just get away from it all. So that was definitely my escape. And with all of that came alcohol and the parties and all that stuff as well. So it wasn't just boys, it was a whole bunch of really damaging stuff.
Yeah, totally. And for Vin, so obviously you've been in this pretty crazy time of your life growing up. And one of the things that even when we've chatted before, you've talked about this idea of you felt like you almost had to replicate the hurt that was put on you. What were some of the cycles? And I know you said you got into a bit of violence and a bit of fights, but what were some of the cycles that you found yourself in and you found yourself kind of replicating because of the brokenness? And to be honest, because of a choice that somebody else had already made for you. What was that like?
Yeah, I guess for me, it became my identity. Like you said, my identity was found in everything that I'd experienced, all the bad things that I'd experienced. And one of the things that, like I said before, that really became who I was anger, like we talked about, and becoming violent and whatnot. But one of the other things that really, I guess, took a toll on my life as well was just that having no understanding of what love really looked like. So I didn't get it from any sort of parents. I didn't get it from any friends. So that when I went into school, like, and I try and find, you know, love and girls and stuff like that, I didn't know how to properly love a person because I didn't know love myself. And then even as a journey, like even when I first became a Christian, like, you know, hearing about God and saying that he loves me and that he's my father, because I had these two male figures in my life that were supposed to be father figures, but the example of that was completely deceived. Like when I came to knowing God as my father, I really struggled with that because I was like, God, I went through everything that I did, but you were never there for me. And you're telling me you're my father, but why should I come to you? Because you were never there for me. And I just really struggled with this idea of being someone that could actually be loved and actually amounting to something.
Yeah, well, I guess, Vince, we hear this a lot. And if you've been around church, you probably heard this a whole lot, that God loves you, he's for you. But what was the turning point? Has God actually showed his love to you? And if so, what did that look like?
I'd say one thing that was just resounding in terms of that was, despite all my attempts to kind of push God out, despite all my attempts to push people that talked about God away from me, he never stopped. Like, he never stopped pursuing me. And like we sang that song, like Reckless Love, like he left the 99 literally to chase me. And I realized that, like, you know, like I was so broken. I was dirty. I was just this person that was just a mess. But God cared enough to like send his son down for me. Like so the one thing that meant so much to him, without even knowing me, he still allowed him to die on a cross for everything that I did. And for me, that was that revelation of God's love was probably
awesome,
the biggest thing.
Man. Come on. Abby, for you, you faced a lot of pretty big decisions in your life, you know,
yes.
And obviously one that you shared about. If there are any young people here facing a big decision, who now, looking back, would you have turned to, or who can you encourage us when we're facing big decisions? Who are the best people that we should be turning to or actually involving part of that journey?
I think, obviously, your parents, and I know that it's a tricky situation because sometimes your parents are the ones you go through the most with. So it actually can be the ones you share the baggage with. And I mean, this journey I went through with my mum, so I mean, my start of my journey. And so she knows me the most, but she's also been through the most with me. And so there's times where I kind of was like, well, I've seen all that you've done. Why would I ask you for advice? But I honestly think that it is your parents. And I think that they, like, I'm pregnant now with our third. And I know now as a mum that this baby is growing inside of me for 9 months. God has equipped me for this baby. And so I know this baby better than anybody else. And I would hope that this baby would come to me for advice when it's older. So I see that as being a mum myself, that parents just love and adore you so, so, so much, no matter what you see from them and no matter what you experience with them. So that's parents. But then also, obviously, my faith was a huge thing that I left to the side at the very start and ran away from, because it's also another thing that brings a lot of truth to your world, and it is confronting. And I think sometimes we need that, and we need that truth. So I would totally say, above all else, we should be going to God. And I also, on that note, I know that we have to move on, but we have to be very careful who we speak to in those times. And I'm actually not going to sit here and say you should just reach out to anybody and go and talk together, everyone around you, because I really feel like unless they're called by God to speak into your world, that they're not called to speak into your world. And if you're not asking God who that person is, you're not going to know. So I think you need to go to God first, and then you need to figure out who else you need to go to.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. So good.
Yeah.
Indy, was there an environment where you were actually able to find home if home wasn't found in the usual places with your mom, with your family? Where was it that you were able to find home and connection?
Yeah. So it happened when I met God, when I was living with my boyfriend. And at the time, it was like that, where I had no home. I had no idea where I was supposed to be going or what was going to happen. And God literally met me in a park one time at a party. And I remember just having to remove myself from the group of people and be like, what is going on? Like, I hadn't come to church. Like, I hadn't heard from God before. So that was a strange concept. But he spoke to me and he's like, I've got a plan for your life and you need to get out of the situation that you're in. So he spoke to me, but he also called me to action. And so eventually I followed that voice, and long story short, ended up getting adopted by these amazing pastors of a church, and they took me into their home, and I was introduced to the church as well and the amazing family that the church is. And for the first time in my life, I found a sense of belonging. I found that the church and this family here can actually be my home. But number one, my home is first found in knowing God. And when I put my hand up for the first time and I made a decision to follow God and to give my whole life over to Him, no matter what that meant, it was like I just became myself again. And I never really knew what that felt like, but it was like I became myself and I was home, and it didn't matter what came my way or what was going to happen, because I had God, and that was something I'd never had before. So definitely found home in that.
Awesome. Could you ever have imagined yourself being where you are right now, married to an incredible dude, doing incredible things within your business, building the kingdom of God? Could you ever have imagined that you'd be here?
Not at all. No, I thought I was destined to a life that was similar to my mum's, because that was all I'd ever known. And I'm like, how would I ever be one of those people that are blessed and privileged if I've come from this? I was like, there's no hope for me. There's no way. But there is a way. So it happened.
There is a way. And as you heard, for so many people, they feel hopeless, I think, because of what is, that is what's going to be. And I love, Indy, your story of that just doesn't have to be the case. Vince, just to finish up with, obviously, forgiveness, would you agree that it is a process, and that process takes time? Have you got to a point where I guess you're able to forgive what has been done to you?
To put it real plain, yes, it takes a long time. And everyone goes through different things with different people, so that means everyone's going to be on their own journey with forgiveness. So don't feel like, you know, you have to forgive straight away. Like, even though the Bible tells us we have to forgive straight away, like, yes, we do. So we choose to, even if you don't feel like it. And that's what I realized. Like, I had to keep telling myself, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, even though my heart was telling me every single reason why I shouldn't. And to give you a bit of perspective, I'm currently in my 20s. And it, let's say it took me 17 years to forgive. My stepfather, my dad for walking out, my uncle, 17 years of harboring on it, all that, and then coming to a point where I think the real pivotal point for me was where God showed me all these different people that did me wrong. And I had every single reason to be like, to hold it against them and to hold a grudge and to be bitter. But then he says to me, like, if I can forgive you for everything that you've done, what's stopping you from forgiving them? And I realized that what they did to me is nothing in comparison to all the mistakes that I did, like, for God, and like how much it hurt God. And I was like, God, like, you don't understand. Like, they, you didn't see how much they hurt me. And he's like, I did. I was there. And he felt my pain. And that's what I realized. He felt exactly what I was going through. And he was, even though I didn't feel him, he was walking with me, like, through every step of the way.
Cool. And finally, Abby, after the journey, you know, looking back, being able to see some of your story, can you honestly say in front of all these people that you can, we can trust God, and he is faithful, both in the good times and the bad times?
Yeah. I totally was just talking to some of the girls about the situation real quick. So actually, my dad that I was talking about there passed away last year. And I was faced with a decision, do I go to his funeral or do I not go to his funeral? Because he's done so much bad and I don't need that. Or do I turn up? And God said to me, I want you to turn up. So I turned up. I walked inside the house that the funeral was in. And I can honestly say I was showered just with love from him. It showed me how far he's actually brought me, because I was standing there with absolutely no baggage. I actually can say I walk with no baggage after all that I have been through, but that is only through him. And just trusting in him and trusting in his process and trusting that he's working when you can't feel him. And it's not until I stepped into that funeral in that moment that I realized, holy moly, this dude is real.
Youth Conference, can we give these guys a hand, but also God a hand for his faithfulness? Indy, Vince, Abby, thank you so much. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Come on, keep giving them a hand as they walk off. Powerful stuff, right? We all have a story. Every single one of us. Now, you may be sitting here, as I said at the start, and be like, oh my gosh, I've got nothing to overcome compared to those guys' stories. Can I tell you that we all have things that we need to overcome? Every single one of us have something that God actually needs to be in the middle of to help us get through the process of. And can I just bring a bit of context? When I say overcome, I also don't mean the other end of the scale. I don't mean that you need God to help you overcome second place to first place in Fortnite, all right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the kind of overcome where it's late at night, it's the school holidays, you're hungry, you go to Macca's, you've got your Big Mac combo, and now all you need to finish it off is a frozen Coke. So you order a frozen Coke and they say to you, I'm so sorry, it's broken. The machine is broken. To which you reply, you have one job. No, you don't. You don't say that. You don't say that. I'm not talking about that kind of overcoming. I'm not talking about the overcome when you're at school and you catch your eyes with that special somebody. You know what I'm talking about. And you wave. Don't start looking now. You better not start waving now. And you wave. And they wave back. Only for you to realize that they're waving at the person behind you. Yeah, that's real. That's real. And if that has happened, I'm really sorry. But that's not the kind of, put your hands down, stop waving. They're waving at the person behind me. I'm not talking about that kind of overcoming. But we all have things in our lives that we actually need God, His intervention, His love, His power, His mercy, His forgiveness to get us from where we are to where we need to be. I love Pastor Rich's message that just because we are somewhere, it doesn't mean that we have to stay there. If we feel isolated, we don't have to stay there. So this afternoon, really quickly, I want to share three keys that I believe every single one of us need in order to overcome. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are in this. God, would you take the little knowledge that I have, merge it with the incredible power and anointing that you have, and actually make this an incredible message for individuals. God, I thank you that you don't see a group of people. You see individuals sitting here, and you want to deposit something right now in this moment. Everybody said? Amen. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where it's just kind of an ordinary situation, but something out of the ordinary happens? Have you found yourself in one of those situations? I've got a bit of a confession. I love energy drinks, okay? This is vulnerability. I can share with you guys. I love energy drinks. I get mocked for it a lot. I love the energy drink V. And in my opinion, it's healthy because vegan starts with V and so does V. So you do the math. You do the math on that one. But I remember this one time, it was I was working at church and I needed a break. I needed to get away from Christians, and no, I didn't. I just needed to go to the petrol station. So I went to the petrol station and I got a V, and as I was kind of walking into the entrance, there was this guy that kind of like suddenly just appeared in the doorway, and it was kind of like blocking the doorway, and I was kind of like, oh, you can kind of like do the dance, like you're in the way, I need to get around you. And he kind of looked at me, and I kind of looked back at him, and he was like, bro, I'm a bit trapped. I can't get home. Is it all right if I borrow your phone? To which I kind of looked at him, looked at my phone, and I thought, oh man, church is across the road. If you ask me what I do, I have to tell him I'm like a youth pastor. And so I thought I had to do the right thing, right? And so I handed him my phone, and as I handed him my phone, I stepped really close towards him. In case he did the runner, I was right there to grab him, tackle him down. So I gave him my phone. He was talking to somebody. He managed to organize a ride, and then he kind of gave the phone back to me, and he just started like smiling. I was kind of like, yeah, you're still in the way. But he was smiling, and he was just really energetic, really joyful. And I was kind of like, what have you been up to? And he's like, I actually not doing anything at the moment. I just recently got out of jail. To which I was like, give me my phone back right now. And he was like, yeah, I just got out of jail. I was like, how long have you been out of jail for? And he goes, no, like, I've just gotten out of jail. You see that building right there? Yeah, that's the Mount Eden jail. Yeah, I've just got out right now. And I kind of had one of these moments where, I don't know if you've had it before, but you have like a full-on conversation, but it's in like a split second. And I started in my head and I was kind of like, what do you say to someone who's just been released from jail? What do you say? And in that split second, I kind of found myself saying, congratulations. Can I buy you an energy drink? To which he was like, the man. So together I walked in to the petrol station with this guy, and I was like, is there any energy drink in particular that you would like? And he goes, you know what? There is something I'd really like. I would love a Red Bull. And I was like, it's not V, but that's okay. And he goes, no, the reason why I'd really love a Red Bull is because before I got put in jail, the last drink I was drinking as I got busted was a Red Bull. And so he goes, funny how the cycle happens, eh? And I'm like, sure, funny how that happens. Had a energy drink with this guy. He got picked up and he left. And he just had this aura and this smile and this beam about him, about being no longer contained, no longer boxed in. But you could just see all over this guy that he was free. Yeah. And this is the thought for this afternoon. I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me that hopefully you haven't been to jail or you don't know what it's like to be in jail, but there are some youth here this afternoon. And you may not be in jail, but you feel like a prisoner in your own body. I had this sense in my heart that there are some people, and you literally feel like because of what you are facing right now, that you almost are like a prisoner without even being in jail. I looked up the dictionary meaning of the word overcome, and this is what it says. Success in dealing with a particular problem or difficulty. You know, I believe the opposite of overcome isn't failure. The opposite of overcome is living disconnected. What I love about these three stories is all three people would testify that they couldn't overcome by themselves, that they had to be connected in order to overcome. Youth conference, if you don't remember anything else from this session, I want you to remember this. In order to overcome, you can't do it by yourself. In order to be free, in order to feel like you are no longer contained or even a prisoner in your own body or what you are going through, not only should you not do it by yourself, but you don't have to do it by yourself either. And really quickly, there are three connection points that I want to talk about based on what we've already heard. And this is out of John 14:6. The scripture says this, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father except through me. Three points of connection. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, connected to family, as Abby so beautifully put. Number two, connected to friends. Number three, connected to the helper. Back to that scripture in John 14:6 starts with, I am the way. Now, I'm going to share something, and it's probably going to sound pretty outrageous. Pretty crazy, but I want to say it anyway. What if your parents were part of God's answer to showing you a new way that you haven't yet seen before? I know what you're thinking, Dan, you're an idiot. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, Dan, you are crazy, man. You are crazy. Because it is. It's a weird thing. Being a teen, being a preteen, and trying to connect with your family at times, man, it's just weird. Like, what do you even talk to your mom about? Hey, mom. Hey, you look okay today. Thanks. I really like your eyebrows. I like how they meet in the middle. I don't know. No, don't ever say that. Please don't ever say that. But you know, like, what do you even talk to your parents about? I think we spend so much time avoiding our parents, we actually forget what it's like to have a conversation with them. Can we start to maybe believe that one of the connection points we need is with our families? That in order to overcome, we actually need the people that brought us into this world. I love what it says in Ephesians 6:2-3. Honor your father and mother. Listen to this. This is the first commandment with a promise. Ready for the conditional part? If. Turn to the person next to you and say, if. If. Not if. 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 If you honor your father, listen to this. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you. And you will have a long life here on earth. I believe that your parents, now when I say parents, I don't necessarily mean your direct parents. It could, for maybe some people in here, mean your caregivers as well. I honestly believe that your parents, your caregivers, can and will be your biggest supporters. But youth conference, they can only support as much as you give them. They can only support as much as you're willing to give them. If maybe you're like Indy and you find yourself that, you know what, Dan? I actually don't have a family. Can I tell you that your church is your family as well? That you can find that same support, that same victory, that same pathway direction through the church, because they're like your family as well. If your family are a point of connection that we need to overcome, I guess the question is, how much are we living isolated from them? And due to that isolation, how much are we preventing the overcome in our worlds? Number two. Number one, connection to your family. Number two, connection to friends. I really struggle when I hear young people say, man, it's hard to find good friends. Oh man, it's hard to find people that you actually get on well with. I just struggle with that a little bit because I got a theory, and the theory's pretty simple. If you want to have good friends, then be a good friend. If you want to have honest friends, then start being honest. If you are over the gossip and the drama and the drama and the drama and the drama, then stop gossiping. I think in order to have good friends, we need to be good friends as well. We need to be the ones who are actually influencing rather than being so quickly to be influenced by the people around us. We need people and people need us. But we need to make the decision that friends are going to be more than a private message here and there. That friends are going to be more than a Fortnite invite every now and again. We need people and people need us. Youth conference, how connected are you to people? How connected are you really to friends? I honestly believe that the people you surround yourself with are the people that you'll become most alike. I honestly believe that the people you spend most of your time with will influence and have one of the greatest influences over your actions, and not just what you do, but who you are as well. Our friends are so much more important than just someone we can have a good laugh with. And I guess the question here that I wrote for us this afternoon is, with your friendships, are you searching for popularity or are you searching for connection? You may be sitting in here, and from the outside, you look like you have the most friends. You look like you have the most followers, and yet, you're the loneliest person here. We need youth. We need people who understand the importance of not just having cliques that we want to be a part of to make us look cool. But we need to be the generation who want connection, authentic connection with people who we can influence and they can influence us in what we do. Number one, we need a point of connection with family. Number two, we need connection with friends. Because if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, truth gets muddled up pretty quickly by the people around you. Is what you're hearing the truth? And if not, what if I said that maybe you need to find some people that are speaking more truth than lies in your world? And what you could start to find is that things become a little bit easier for you to overcome. And number three, connected to the helper. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father except through me. Side note, I don't know if you guys have ever had like dad battles. Has anyone ever had like a dad battle, maybe like a mum battle or something? You're like, yo, my dad's way cooler than your dad. Yo, my dad would smash your dad. Yo, my dad is your dad. I don't know. Have you ever like had a dad battle? I could just imagine like, yo, my dad's way better than your dad. And then Jesus coming along and, yo, my dad is, go away, Jesus. That's cheating, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's not fair. I think sometimes we need to include Jesus's dad in our battles. I think sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus' Father is the one that we need in our battles.